everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are thrilled today to be here to do one of our very famous previews, spring preview. Spring fever is coming up and we all need our Hallmark relaxation right now. I think we need a good dose of Hallmark. We've got spring fever coming up. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and I have two very special guests today. We have our very good friend Jess is here.
Hey, everybody.
Yay. And Elise Murray is here.
Hi, everyone.
Yay. So how have you been?
Oh, very good. You know, you gotta love releasing a very sweet romance in the middle of a pandemic. Who doesn't love that? It's been very good for the escapism. And I'm excited to talk about some good upcoming movies.
Yeah, I think we all need Hallmark more than ever right now. Would you agree?
Yes. Very much agree.
Yeah. There's just nothing like a Hallmark movie to relax during difficult times, and I know we've all felt it. And we are not going to be previewing the two re-air / acquisitions. I decided going to be having they're actually going to be airing in the key of love. For the first time, we reviewed that last August, and it wasn't our favorite. It wasn't the best, but if you haven't had a chance to see it, I guess go and watch it. It is. It's going to be on the 21st. They're going to be having Adventures in Love and Babysitting on the same day on the 21st at 1 o'clock, which is really random, but this movie is 6 years old, so it was filmed in 2014, so it's just,
oh boy,
the whole situation is just bizarre, and that's why Travis Van Winkle looks like he's a child. He looks so young, and so I don't know, it's so bizarre. Like, why, if you're gonna re-air it, why would you re-air it at 1 o'clock on the same day that you're re-airing another movie? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
So we weren't really going to, we had plenty of other things to talk about. You'll have to all let us know what you think of those films if you get a chance to see them. But we're diving right into actual spring fever, and then we're going to talk about the mysteries. And then we're going to talk about Elise's new book. So exciting. Let's dive in. We're going to give between 1 and 5 flowers because it's the spring. And last year, I don't know if you would agree, but last year, in my opinion, Spring Fever was so good. It was the highlight of the non-Christmas year for Hallmark. And then I feel like it kind of went downhill from there. But I loved pretty much all the spring movies, especially Love to the Rescue. I absolutely loved that movie. It was my favorite movie that Hallmark made all year, including Christmas. I thought it was so good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
High praise.
Yeah. I thought the script by Sarah Montana was excellent. And I Nikki DeLoach, Michael Rady, so good. But I don't know. Did you remember, Jess, last year, Spring Fever? Was that... Do you get to see those?
I did not. That was actually before I had access to Hallmark Channel. So
okay.
I think I started around the June weddings is when I first started kind of getting in and watching regularly. So yeah, I can't comment on that.
Okay. At least, did you get to see any last year? Do you remember?
I'm trying to remember. Was it that year?
Yeah, Flip That Romance.
Yeah, I really love that one. That was like, and I'm really, my family is obsessed with HGTV, so I kind of hate it. I hate it conceptually because I see so much of it. But yeah. I bought the chemistry, I bought the story, like it was really good. So I think this has been kind of, I think it's right in Hallmark's wheelhouse, you know, it's like a good time of year, everyone's feeling good. Like, I think it's a perfect kind of fit for them. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what they get this year.
I also loved True Love Blooms last spring. Sarah Rue, so good. Jordan Bridges. I really liked the script, and I especially loved the minimalist designer Marta. She plays Jordan Bridges' girlfriend at the beginning of the movie, and her idea of design is basically like have nothing in the room at all. And I thought she was hilarious. She made me laugh, and I thought the actress did a really good job with and Sarah Rue's character keeps bringing him plants to try to convince him to keep the gardens. And every time he would get a new plant, Marta would be like, you're ruining my whole aesthetic. And she'd be like, I thought it was hilarious. So that was a highlight for me. And so it was a good season. The bar's high from last year. And so hopefully it will be as good this year. They've had a bit of a rough start, I feel like, Hallmark, with the rom-coms. I've really only liked two of them, which makes me grumpy pants. But so I'm really hopeful.
I would agree, though. I have not liked many of the ones so far. I think I've only had, about one or two that I've been like, okay, that one was enjoyable. But the rest, some of them I didn't even finish.
Yeah.
Hopefully the spring ones will be better.
It's not good when they get the old DNF. That's what I call the did not finish.
Yeah.
I try to avoid that at all possible.
Yeah.
It's weird what something has been missing. I'm not sure. But anyway, so the first one that we have is Just My Type. This is stars Bethany Joy Lentz and Brett Dalton, directed by Paul Ziller. And written by S.W. Sessions, who just did the adaptation of The Secret Ingredient. So, which was decent. I liked it okay. And the plot is pop culture writer and aspiring novelist Vanessa Sills escapes run-ins with her ex by retreating to a quaint B&B in rural Washington. A chance meeting with illustrious, elusive, and reclusive author and local resident Martin Claiborne has Vanessa starstruck and determined to land an exclusive interview. With a big promotion on the line, a persistent Vanessa creates reasons to see Martin, who eventually becomes intrigued enough with her honest effort to let him finally tell his side of the story to his devoted fans. A spark ignites between them as they spend more time together during the interviews, but it's clear they are more than literally worlds apart, and that Vanessa has put her own aspirations, dreams, and romantic life aside. It's when Vanessa is back home in Portland and a mysterious gift arrives from Martin that she makes a surprise decision, leading her to assertively take her own advice and go boldly in the direction of your dreams and live life, the life you imagine. So the one thing I will say about this movie is I think the poster is awful. I hate it.
Oh, I have to see it now.
Yeah.
I have to look.
they got really attractive people that don't look as attractive as they should, and it's just very unflattering and very poorly done. It's just like a weird face that she's making, just bizarre. I thought it was a terrible poster, so that's my first comment. But Jess, what do you think about this film?
I like the talent. Obviously Bethany Joy Lentz is great. I also like Brett Dalton. And I think the plot sounds fairly, fairly interesting. I'm curious about this mysterious gift and what that might be. So I think it has potential.
Yeah. What do you think, Elise?
Yeah, I think the thing that I love the most about reading through all of these synopses is that in every single one, there's like one really weird element that I'm just psyched about.
Right.
Mysterious gift is just standing out to me. There's a dog on the poster. I'm hoping it's a dog. I'm not sure that that's the case, but it would be awesome. But no, I agree. I really like the talent. I think the summary was a bit unwieldy. I'm not sure I really understand what's going to be happening. But yeah, I really do trust the talent, and obviously Bethany Joy Lentz is like a Hallmark treasure. So I'm excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he's an he's a reclusive author, but he takes this opportunity to have this interview, but there's the mysterious gift, and also she's starstruck even though he's a reclusive. There's a lot going on there. It's very true.
Yeah.
and the, like I said, the poster with her with this hoodie on and this weird bandana, I'm not a fan. But it sounds like she's pretty confident, but then it sounds like she's also not confident. So I'm a little confused. I really like Bethany. I was really disappointed in her Valentine's movie, but mm-hmm. I'll let it slide. And I've liked Brett Dalton. All of his movies have been good so far for Hallmark. He did The Cooking with Love, which was good.
I really like that one.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and he did Once Upon a Christmas Miracle, which was also pretty good, I'd say. The one where she needs the transplant.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It was pretty good. It was a true story, and he ends up being a kidney match for her, and they're strangers, but he's willing to donate. I think it was the kidney. They end up falling in love, and it was cute. Him and Amy Teagarden. You didn't see that one, Elise?
No, I didn't see that one. Anyone that I think might make me sad, I don't watch.
Mm-hmm.
Which is always a problem because, you know, you go into pitch to Hallmark and sometimes you're like, hey, I have this really great idea. It's super compelling. And they're like, well, it'll make people sad. And I'm like, well, I don't mind making other people sad. I just don't want to feel sad. That's ridiculous. So yeah. I will have to put that one on my list for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. They have enough kind of cute activities and things going on, and it's not like a Hall of Fame or something like that.
Yeah.
No, it's not November Christmas or something really sad. But anyway, he's good in it. It's a cute one. It's a pretty good one. And so he's had a good run. And I feel like the two of them will have good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both pros. And so I feel like, I hope so. And I don't know. At least it feels different. They're not planning a party.
Yeah. We've had too many of those.
Oh.
I think that's actually the one thing that worries me about this one is I do feel like we've had a lot of writer and interview subject. I feel like it's kind of, maybe it's just more of a rom-com trope than a Hallmark trope.
Yeah.
But I hope it's like fresh and fun kind mm-hmm. of take on it.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, the trope is for sure there, but it there's not a festival. It's a, it's a little, I feel like it's a little bit different than what we've gotten. There's no dating apps involved. So it's winning points for me. But yeah, it could definitely be tired. It depends. I mean, we've only seen one other film from this screenwriter, so it's a little bit hard to say. And that was based on a novel. So it's going to be interesting. Paul Ziller, he's done a ton of stuff for Hallmark as the director. I'm pretty interested. I'm pretty excited, despite the absolutely atrocious poster. I'm going to give it 3.5 flowers.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I'm going to give it 3, I think. Yeah.
And now I'm going to go 3. No, I think I'll go 3, but like with a nice ribbon around it.
Okay.
Almost 3.5.
Okay, good. Good. Half flower is kind of mean, so maybe I shouldn't say that. Only got a half flower.
Just the stem.
Okay. So then we have the best name to ever exist. You're baking me crazy.
Yes.
I'm so excited. The best. And this is based on a book by Suzanne Nelson, and I definitely will be reading this book. I got to find it. Got to read it because that's hilarious. and it stars Michael Rady, Natalie Hall, Casey Manderson. We have interviewed Natalie Hall. We will have that post sometime. But she was the best. I absolutely loved interviewing her. She was so nice. And she kind of started halfway through. This is a little taste of the interview. She's halfway through. She started interviewing me, which was really fun. She's like, I'd be like, so what's your favorite movie? And you're like, well, what's your favorite movie? I said, okay, that's good. So that was really fun. She was so nice. I loved her. And I've loved her in all of her Hallmark things. She's so bright. She's so lovely. And Michael Rady has been on a hit streak. Amazing. Love to the Rescue and Two Turtle Doves last year. So good. And so that's great. And this is directed by Alan Harmon, who's always a pro, and adapted by Christopher Say, who hasn't done a Hallmark movie in a long time. The last one that he did was It's Christmas Carol with Carrie Fisher. So it's been a while. And that one's hilarious. So, here's the plot. It's a deliciously charming love story about Cleo, a spunky young chef with a popular food truck. With the help of her niece, Tessa, Cleo's handcrafted Italian sandwiches have become a favorite of the bustling and competitive Portland food scene. But when Gabe, the handsome chef of a rival food truck called the Bacon Wagon, parks across the street, Cleo's goal to win a local food truck competition takes a spicy turn. With Gabe's help and her family's encouragement, Cleo comes to learn that she's not going to win if she doesn't push herself. As she comes to realize that owning her own restaurant is what she wants most, she also begins to understand that her food isn't the only thing that could use some TLC. Only way Cleo can have everything she wants is if she adds the most important ingredient to both her cooking and her life, and that's love.
Aww.
Which is the best description ever. So, Jess, what are your thoughts on You're Baking Me Crazy?
I'm very excited for this one. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, Michael Rady, I love him. Two Turtle Doves was my favorite Christmas movie from last year. I don't think I'm familiar with Natalie Hall, or if I am, I'm just not making the connection in my brain. Mm-hmm. But I'll be interested to see her. And I think it could just be a really fun movie. When I was reading the description earlier, it actually reminded me a lot of the Christmas movie from last year with Eric Mabius and Trisha Helfer and the competing
ministers.
I'm like, so this could be a really fun thing. Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. I think it'll be good.
Did you, it was called It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas. Did you see that, Elise?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you got to see it. It was hilarious.
Okay, I'll add it to my list.
Yes, add it to the list. It was so funny. It was the kind of movie that Hallmark tends not make anymore that are just really kind of campy and over the top a little bit.
Yeah.
It was so funny. That's a good comparison. I like that.
Yeah.
What about you, Elise? What do you think of You're Baking Me Crazy?
Yeah, I am totally in, all in on You're Baking Me Crazy. Not only does it have a great title, which is just like, in romance, sometimes we have this thing we call crazy sauce, where in, like, it's kind of the romance equivalent of like a screwball comedy where everything's a little bit weird and off and funny and ridiculous. And that's kind of how this feels.
Yeah.
And I am here for it. I'm not super familiar with the two leads, but this is a book I would totally pick up, and I think it's going to be really fun. So yeah, I'm in. I'm curious of how she got like a super popular food truck, but also like needs better food. That might be like tripping me up.
Well, but, I mean, I think the bacon takes you a long way. You put bacon.
That's true. That's true.
But because people love bacon, and there was even I think I saw a thing last year that we've got a bacon shortage because people love bacon so much. And but yeah, then he comes in with the bacon wagon. Makes me laugh. But yeah, I mean, I think it could have a really fun kind of rivalry between these two. Food trucks, and I guess it's the thing this year. I've set everything in Portland.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, it's an interesting sort of like the whole season's kind of Pacific Northwest, which is interesting. When I think of the Pacific Northwest, I think of like rain.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, I don't really think of spring. Uh-huh. But I'm excited that they're not just going like typical, you know, a shot, like a place where you could have as many flowers in the background as possible.
Right.
So
yeah, because last year they filmed a bunch of their spring movies in Florida. So that was an interesting thing. But yeah, so Natalie Hall, she did a Winter Princess last year for Winterfest, and that movie was bonkers and funny and ridiculous. She played this princess that's hiding out in the ski lodge, working at the ski lodge. And,
as you do.
Yes, that's right. And had Chris McNally in it, and Casey Manderson and Brendan Zube were really funny as her brother and friend. And they had these ridiculous accents and it was just, it was fun. It was a fun movie. And then she was in a movie called The 7-Year Hitch, which is going back to like 2014. And it's one of my favorite Hallmark movies about, she has this longtime BFF friend and she's dating this total jerk. They've been basically roommates all this time, and her and her BFF. And in order to stop her from marrying this jerk, the BFF claims they're in a common law marriage, and they have it's very clever and really fun. And so it was our very first episode of On Friendship that Lisa and I did. So people should check that out. But anyway, so I'm really excited for her. Her and Michael Rady, hopefully we'll have good chemistry. And I don't know, it just sounds fun, and this baking bake-off or cook-off, I guess. Bacon off. Yeah. And so I'm gonna go crazy, and we're going all 5 hours for this for me. I'm highly pumped. I just hope it lives up to my high expectations. What do you think, Jess?
I agree. I think it's going to be really good. So I'm going to give it 4.5 flowers with a really pretty bacon printed ribbon.
Ooh, very good. Elise?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 4.5 as well. It looks fun, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. And I'm so proud of Hallmark for embracing the pun.
Yeah.
The pun title. I thought for sure they were going to be changing it, and it would be like spring food truck wars or something. they make it like all generic. Because it seems like that usually the previous name, the work in progress name is much better than the eventual name.
Yeah, and then it gets a little more generic.
Yeah, they change it to like a winter romance. I mean, could you get more generic?
A winter love story.
Yeah, a winter with love story. all right. So now on the 11th, we have Fashionably Yours. And this stars Cat Graham, Shirley Ralph, and Kendrick Sampson. And it's after 3 years organizing fashion collections at a top magazine, Lauren Graham is passed up for promotion and decides it's finally time to throw in the towel on Seattle and move home. When Rob, the owner of the moving company she hires, learns of her distaste for the city, he makes it his mission to help her see the beauty of Seattle and all it has to offer. In exchange for her organizing services, he becomes her tour guide for the next 2 weeks, leading up to her move, and Lauren discovers there's a lot to fall in love with in Seattle. And this is directed by Nimisha McKirshi. It's based on a novel by Nicole Averill and adapted by Nicole Baxter, who's done a bunch of stuff. The Sweetest Heart, Wedding of Dreams, The Latest Christmas at Graceland, which was way better than it had any right to be, and Christmas Love Story, the Hall of Fame last year. So she's been on a roll. And I just think it's kind of crazy that this movie is about convincing someone to stay in the city.
Yeah.
What is happening to Hallmark? This is radical. The whole point of this movie is him spending 2 weeks trying to convince her that Seattle's great. I don't know, Elise, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm super excited about this one, but it seems like a very solid premise. And I think, you know, I love it that it's a lot of women behind the camera. I think that'll be really fun. I mean, a female director and female writer. And I haven't read the book, but, you know, I think it could be, you know, Seattle can be really beautiful, and I'm interested to see what they kind of do with it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, I'm not super excited just reading the plot. And I'm not really familiar with the talent either. I don't know if I've seen them in anything. Mm-hmm. But it's adapted by Nicole Baxter. I did like Christmas at Graceland too, and A Christmas Love Story. So maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. But yeah, it's not really piquing my interest just from the little blurb.
I think this will depend a ton on chemistry. Mm-hmm. If these two, because you're basically spending a lot of time like touring the city and like hanging out in the moving van and stuff like that. So it could be really, really boring if they don't have the good chemistry. Kat Graham, she was in The Night Before Christmas on Netflix, and she was also in The Holiday Calendar on Netflix. So she's done some Netflix rom-coms. And she was charming. She was cute. She's a little unlikable in The Holiday Calendar, unfortunately. But I think this will depend a ton on that. And, if that banter is kind of When Harry Met Sally ish enough, you know, like them back and forth, mm-hmm. As they tour around the city. Because there's not a lot of plot. There really isn't a ton going on here. I mean, he's basically just trying to convince her to stay. I mean, but that is, I mean, this is the first time I can think of ever in the history of Hallmark movies that someone is trying to be convinced that their distaste for the city is wrong. Like, usually the city is bad. It's evil. Right?
The bad men of business come from.
Yeah, it leads you astray. You know, I've long said on the podcast that you can't be a good person in the city unless you're running a parade or a window designer. Those are the only two allowed careers. But she's evidently a fashion designer or magazine or something. I don't know. But anyway, I think this one will be highly subjective depending on the chemistry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would give it, I'm going to give it 2.5 flowers. And it is nice, and it's nice that you have a diverse cast, people of color. That's cool.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I wish that they had like a more sort of hooky, you know, way to grab me in with this one. So I think I'm just going to have to give it a two flowers.
What do you think, Jess?
I'm going to go with two flowers too.
Yeah. We'll see. If anybody wants to convince me of Seattle, I'm ready to go. Okay. So then we have Nature of Love. So this is our last Spring Fever movie. It stars Emilia Ullerup, Christopher Russell, and it has Donna Benedicto on, who we love, who was so great on our podcast. She was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. This is directed by Marita Grabiak, who did Winter Castle, Hearts of Spring, and We'd Love Christmas, and a bunch of other stuff. She's great. And writer Uma Inkorochi. She has 3 writing credits to her name, but this is her first Hallmark movie, so that's exciting. And it's we just have a short synopsis. It's just city girl Katie is writing a magazine feature on a glamping resort. Far from sporty, she faces her fears trying the camp's activities with help from Will, a rugged outdoorsman and nature guide. I don't know, Jess, would you say you are a far from sporty camper, or are you big into the outdoors?
I say I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm pretty outdoorsy. I ride horses and work at barns and stuff, so I would not have any fears of trying camp activities.
Okay,
but my first question here is, what is a glamping resort? Is that like
I have been to one.
Oh, glamorous camping, is that what it's supposed to be?
Yeah, so it's they're very common in the UK. So my husband and I went to one once because he was trying to convince me on the whole camping thing, which my idea of camping is like Holiday Inn Express. Like, I don't want to go into the woods. I don't want to be outside.
Same.
And so we went to this. He was like, okay, we'll start you in slow. We'll get you, you know, your feet kind of under you with the whole camping thing. So a glamping resort is basically like they have kind of like a big activity center. They have nicer showers and bathrooms. And then you're in kind of like these, it depends on like per resort, but ours were like these kind of hutches. So they were actual physical, small, like 1 or 2 person buildings that you would then either get like your sleeping bags out or like an air mattress. And they had like, you know, electric light and they had heaters and things like that. So not even that could convince me that camping was fun. This is probably one of the very first Hallmark pitches that I've ever read and been like, yeah, that's relatable. I feel that. Yeah. So I'm very much with City Girl Katie, and I'm excited to see, you know, how the rugged outdoorsman helps her fall in love with nature.
Yeah, I tell you one thing for sure. You could, you know, in the Parent Trap when they submarine if I ever dating with kids, that would be a successful strategy against me. I can tell you that right now, because I am not a camper. I do not like wild animals. I don't like sleeping on the ground. I don't like being dirty. I don't like any of that. I am not, maybe I'd be a glamper. I don't know. I'm not a camper. So this does definitely, I feel like if they lean into the humor of that situation, it could be really fun. I feel like the cast is up for it. They could make it funny. I hope so. Christopher Russell, he's mixed for me. I usually like him better when he's kind of the wrong guy, when he's kind of a jerk. I think he's funny. But he's very handsome. So, you know, this is a very attractive couple, Emilia and Christopher, very good looking. So, It has potential, I think, if they lean into the funny. If they don't, it could be a little dry. So I'm going to give it 3 flowers. So I'm hopeful that it'll be funny. What do you think, Jess?
I think I'll do very similar. 3.5 flowers because it got a good cast. I think it could be fun, like you said. It's going to kind of depend. So I have hope for it.
Okay, good.
Three flowers for me, for sure.
Okay, so we have 3 mysteries, and we're just going to go through these more even more quickly. But the first one we have is Mystery 101, An Education in Murder. This has our normal cast, plus Steve Bassick is on the cast. I got to interview him, so that interview will be coming. And this is directed by Michael Robison, writer John Christopher Plummer, same for the whole series. With a young writer's research prompts the police to revisit a famous murder case that convicted Amy's colleague at Elmstead. So Travis and Amy get a second chance at clearing the professor's name. Jess, what do you think of this Mystery 101 series?
I'm ecstatic. I love Mystery 101. It's my favorite of like the real like true mysteries mm-hmm. series we have. Yeah, love Joel Wagner and Chris Bellaha together. Yeah, I'm super excited. And the plot sounds, I mean, there's not much to go on, but it sounds fairly interesting. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm ready for this one.
Yeah. And at least you don't follow the mysteries, right? Am I right?
I don't, because I am afraid of everything. And when I for a while, I listened to a true crime podcast and became so convinced I was going to get murdered that I started to sleep with scissors next to my bed. So my husband was like, no more. I don't keep up with these as much, but I think this one sounds really interesting and like compelling. And I think cold cases are really interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to maybe just hear someone else talk about how good this one is.
Well, and Travis and Amy got pretty close to kissing in the last one. So
it was such a big tease.
Yeah, so cross fingers. I mean, I would definitely go, you know, I'll give four flowers, I guess, to this one. What about you, Jess?
I'm giving it the full five. I'm excited.
Yeah. Now, then we have the next Ruby Herring Mysteries Prediction Murder. And it's got your same cast, plus Jason Cermak is in this one, and directed by Neil Fearnley. And it's when crime reporter Ruby Herring receives clues to a murder that happened 5 years earlier involving a local psychic. She joins forces with Detective Jake Killian to help crack the case. So the first one was not good. The second one was much better. I do really like the cast. Taylor Cole and Stephen Huszar are really good. Elisa Rotaro, who we also interviewed, is really, really fun. I don't know. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I did not like the first one very much. I don't think I've seen the second one.
It was a lot better. It's not perfect, but it was a lot better.
Or maybe I haven't forgot it. I don't think. I can't even remember. But I think the plot, you know, something with a psychic, that could be kind of an interesting little twist. Uh-huh. So maybe it'll change my mind on it.
Yeah, I'm going to be optimistic and give it three. Give it three.
I'm going the full five flowers. This is not safe. This sounds absurd. I'm so hyped. Ooh. It's going to be amazing. You know. Come on, psychics, do this.
I mean, it's just maybe not a good psychic if she doesn't predict her own murder. Maybe she did predict it.
Listening,
oh. Yeah.
The police laughed her off as the crazy psychic.
So, Jess, what would you give it?
I'll give it a 2.75.
Okay, good.
Kind of hopeful, but I'm not sure.
Okay, then we have Aurora Tea Garden Mysteries Heist and Seek, which is a pretty good name. Got to give it to the Aurora Tea Garden. They always have good names. And this is directed by Peter Benson, so that's exciting. Because he plays Arthur in the show, so he's directing it. This has Brendan Zube in it and Candace Cameron Bray. And it's when a princess crown is stolen during a benefit gala held by the Lawrencetown Library, Aurora and the Real Murders Club must investigate who would kill to get their hands on it. And I actually think that this has been working really well with these mysteries this year, where you have an added sort of heist component. And maybe they'll kind of run dry on that, but the first two that they had that both involved a jewelry theft, they had the Riddled with Deceit and the Picture Perfect Mysteries. Both of those both had a jewelry heist element. Mm-hmm. And now Aurora Tea Garden. And I liked both of them. It kind of added a fun second layer to the mystery, as opposed to just just the mystery component. I mean, just the murder component.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually pretty excited about this. I mean, the Aurora Tea Garden are usually pretty good. They do a good job with those stories. And I don't know. What do you think of Aurora Tea Garden, Jess?
I actually have not seen any Aurora Tea Garden.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
They do a pretty good job. They do.
Yeah. I mean, it's Candace Cameron Bure. You know, she's a leading person of Hallmark. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it'll be good. And I love Peter Benson too. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's funny as he plays the cop, the beleaguered cop who has to deal with this real mysteries club, real murders club, and Aurora and all her nonsense. And Mary Lou Henner is in it, and she's always, you know, a pro. She's good. Plays her mother in the series. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts, Elise, on this one?
I'm always fascinated by how these people manage to get involved in all these crimes all the time. He said beleaguered cop, and I was like, oh, that poor cop, he just wants to do his job.
I know. Well, I mean, I think they bring some bad vibes with the Real Murders Club. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of
follows them.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to get this, I'm going to be optimistic because it's a four flowers. Jess, what about you?
I'll give it a 3. It's got a solid cast, but like I said, I haven't seen any, so I don't really have much to go on. But maybe I'll start and catch up.
Yeah, got lots of time coming up. So.
I know, right? Can't go anywhere. So,
do you have any other thoughts on it, Elise, or are you good?
I mean, priceless jewel theft. I'm in. Four flowers.
Okay, good. All right. So now let's spend the rest of this episode talking about Elise's new book. This is so exciting. The Magnolia Sisters. So Elise, why don't you tell us a little bit about it and how you ended up coming up with your idea for this book?
Yeah, so it's about a family who runs a flower farm in Northern California in a little town called Hillsboro. And they are very tight-knit, but obviously, you know, like every family have their own kind of, you know, squabbles and dramas and all that stuff. And basically it begins as kind of a modern retelling of Pride and Prejudice. So, you know, you have kind of the headstrong black sheep of the family who is really just trying her best. And this, you know, rich guy kind of waltzes into town and sort of thinks he can, you know, throw his weight around, and it's really about like the two sort of growing and changing and becoming more complete people as they fall in love and, you know, learning about each other and kind of having their misjudgments about one another corrected. And of course there's also like the family element and all those things you sort of find in a small town romance that I was really excited to write. And originally I was going to pitch it to Hallmark Publishing. This was the first book I wrote after The Christmas Company. And so I literally just sat down with a piece of paper and was like, okay, well, what locations are the most exciting to look at? And literally just kind of brainstormed things that would be like visually beautiful. And then when I thought about a flower farm, I immediately went to Google and searched to see if there were flower farms in Canada, because I know they always film these movies in Canada. I wanted to make sure that, you know, they could actually film it if it ever became a book and then a movie. And it didn't end up working out with Hallmark, but most of the inspiration came from my dad relocated. I grew up in New Orleans, but after I graduated, he and my younger sisters and my stepmom relocated to Northern California in Sonoma County, where the book is set. And one of my younger sister's best friends, her family owns a flower farm. And I went out there and it was just one of the most beautiful, magical places I've ever been. And I knew that that's where the book needed to be set. So yeah, and the setting really became kind of part of the character and how, you know, the small town kind of functions as an extension of these families. And so, yeah, I mean, that's basically the gist. I feel like, yeah, I talked way too long, but
no, you're great. Jess, you had a chance to read the book. What was something that you enjoyed in the Magnolia Sisters?
I really enjoyed, yeah, like kind of you're talking the flower farm, because I've actually never heard of a flower farm before. I'm from Indiana, and the only kind of fields we have are corn. So,
which can be beautiful in their own way.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
So this idea of like a flower field of flowers for a flower farm, that was really interesting. I'm like, man, I just want to go like see a flower farm. Like, that's got to be so, so beautiful. And speaking of beautiful, the cover of this book is stunning, I think. I know we're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but let's face it, we all do. So that was, yeah, it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, my publisher totally knocked it out of the park on the book cover. As soon as they sent it to me early, and as soon as I saw it, I was just totally over the moon. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Feel very lucky.
Well, and I listened to the audiobook, and the reader did a good job. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you're happy with that. Yeah, so you were trying to kind of make sort of an homage to Pride and Prejudice. And did you have any other sort of inspirations in coming up with these sisters that you had?
Yeah, so I mean, the book is obviously, it's dedicated to my three sisters. I, you know, because of my family situation, and my sisters were all very far apart in age. So I'm 25, and then my next youngest sister is 18. She's just about to graduate from high school. She's going to MIT. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's so smart. She's going to get us to Mars one day, I'm sure. And
that's
my
awesome.
Next youngest sister is 13, and then my next youngest sister is 10. So I actually have never lived in a house with them. I always lived with my mom. So, like, I never got to grow up with sisters. Like, I always kind of grew up more like an only child. And so I spent a lot of time, you know, kind of as an adult being like, you know, what would it have been like if we had been, you know, more kind of a family unit in that way. And, you know, I just thought about like how smart and wonderful and lovely and all of these things that these incredible three people are. And I really just wanted to write kind of an homage to, you know, my family, and none of them are like, you know, direct analogs or anything
right.
like that. Not like real person fan fiction or anything, but I really wanted to kind of write the feeling of having, you know, a really close family. And I wanted, in writing this book about these three sisters who are, you know, incredibly close, but also have kind of their own baggage, I wanted to write the feeling of loving someone that much. And I wanted other people to know what it's like to, you know, to love your family and to love your sisters that dearly. And like, you know, in every line, I wanted, you know, people to know how much I loved my sisters. So, and that was kind of sappy, but
yeah. Yeah, I have three sisters myself, so I can certainly relate to that. And I think you did a good job sort of capturing the bond that you feel, but also sort of the inability to kind of understand each other sometimes. And
yeah.
That's frustrating, because my sisters and I, we have a big age gap in my family as well. My youngest sister, I mean, I'm almost 40, and my youngest sister is 20, I think, 19, something like that. She's young. And we're all very, very, very different. And we try to support each other as much as we can and love each other. You know, it's an interesting dynamic. Do you have plans to tell the other sisters' stories and make different
books on? Second book in the series is called Sweet Pea Summer, and it is about May, who's the youngest of the three sisters. And that one comes out in June. And then the third one is called Marigold Matchmaker. Tentatively, that might change. We're kind of in the process with that. And that one comes out in September.
Wow.
All kind of inspired by a different Jane Austen novel. So The second one is about May, and it's based on persuasion. And then the third one is, it actually isn't about May, or it isn't about Rose, the oldest sister. It's actually about Annie, who is our hero's sister. And she kind of plays meddlesome matchmaker to Rose, and you know, she kind of has her own love story, and that one has been super fun to write. It's, you know, kind of in the end stages of production right now. So yeah, I'm really excited to, you know, to kind of tell all the sisters' stories and share their love stories. So I think it can be really fun to kind of watch characters grow and change over a whole series. Yeah. So yeah.
Very cool. Wow. That's impressive. That's very impressive. So you have Annie and Luke. Annie is the bride who wants her wedding in the field of flowers. Luke is her brother who will do anything for his sister. And so he agrees to go and work on the farm to try to convince the girl Harper to let them use the farm. And she doesn't want to because it's going to jeopardize the whole harvest. What did you think, Jess, of Luke? Did you feel like he was pretty swoon-worthy?
Yeah, I think so. He definitely had a lot of passion, and he was very, even though the main character, Harper, misjudged him a lot, he was really pretty selfless in some ways, even though she didn't seem to think so. You know, he dedicated his whole life to pretty much taking care of his sister and, like, giving them that better childhood, or making up, I guess, for their lack of childhood. So yeah, he was a pretty good leading man.
Yeah. Did you have anybody you were thinking of, Elise, when you were writing your dishy Luke character?
Oh, I'm always so bad with this. I feel like I'm just the worst. I really didn't. I mean, you know, kind of just tall, dark, and handsome, really. I'm so bad at it. That's really been, like, one of my hardest things as I have been a writer, is every time I get a manuscript back from an editor, they say, you need to describe what the characters look like. It's so bad. I'm so bad at it. So of all the things, you think that would be the easy thing, right? But I'm always very like, how do they talk, and how do they, like, communicate with other people? And 'cause I came from playwriting, so that was always more my thing. So I really am not very good at fan casting or anything like that. But no, I just, you know, I think someone tall, dark, handsome, and just very good at his heart, I think would have to play Luke.
I was feeling sort of a Matthew McConaughey kind of vibe going on.
I can see it.
For sure. And, I did think it was sort of a fun, the sequences of her just, like, forcing him to do manual labor. It was pretty entertaining. And then I did also like the scene where they were just soaking their feet in the spring and talking. I thought that was probably the best highlight of the book for me, was that sequence.
Yeah, that one was really fun to write. I mean, I think it's always really important to have your characters have, like, a really quiet moment when they first kind of start to figure out, like, they might like each other, and mm-hmm. their walls start to come down, and especially when she, because I think it's all, you know, very fun for her kind of at first to sort of torment this person, you know, but then she sees that there are consequences and he's hurting, and then she is like, oh, right, I was a bad person to have done this to you. And I think that was kind of an important lesson for her. Mm-hmm. So it kind of serves a bunch of different functions in the book, and was obviously, you know, very fun to write and to kind of come up with this sort of magical place for them to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always an easy thing to kind of relate to, of that, that, you know, the person who drives you crazy. It's always a fun dynamic, that person who kind of drives you crazy, but you're secretly kind of attracted to. That's a fun romantic comedy dynamic. I think mm-hmm. it works well. And so, I enjoyed the book. Congratulations on it and the whole series. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. And so we won't give any more away, but hopefully that's enough to kind of tantalize you guys into checking out the book. It's got some fun banter between the sisters, but also between Luke and Harper. And did you have anybody in mind that you were thinking of who would play Harper?
I love Ally Liebert. Mm-hmm. I think she's just got kind of like a very honest, like good quality about her. And I think she's like a very, very great actress and very kind of down to earth. So I think she would play a great Harper.
I couldn't help but think of Autumn Reeser just because the Country Wedding is so good. And so I think she would be really good in the role as well. For sure, if they ever I wanted to Hallmarkize it.
One day.
Yeah, someday. Well, very good. We will have a link in the description if people want to purchase the Magnolia Sisters, check it out. And Jess, where can people follow you on social media and all that fun stuff?
You can find me on Twitter at JMBossy. BOSSE 77. On Instagram, it's Jess BSW blog. And you can also check out my website, beneathstillwaters.com.
Great. And Elise, what about you?
You can find me at writer Elise, writer, like just, you know, a writer. And Elise is ALYS or at elisemurray.com.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So please check that all out. And let us know what your flower rating would be for the movies that we talked about. What are you most excited for? Love to hear your thoughts on that. And if you've read the book, let us know what you think. We'd love to hear that as well. And thanks so much, you guys, for coming and talking about all of this with me. I really appreciate it. And it'll be fun to see how all this turns out.
Definitely.
Okay. Make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, everywhere. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. It means so much to us. We also have our patron group, which we have so much fun, and it really means the world to us, that support that we get from patron. And then we also have our merch store, which has tons of fun Hallmark and Hardee's and just fun inspired designs. So check that out. That'll all be in the description section. And we will talk again soon, you guys. Thanks so much. Bye, everyone.
Bye.